take a second and just be kind of reflecting on each one of you. You can share if you want to. If not, that's okay. But I just want you just to remind yourself of when you came to that conclusion that you were going to follow Christ. And that moment that you had, that, you know, whether it was renewal in your relationship with Him or whether it was, you know, the first time that you accepted Him in your life as your Savior, you know, wherever that moment was. And just, I'd like to share. I mean, you all know my story. You all know where, you know, but how was your, yeah.
When I left, as the family said, what do you do? It scared me. You want to do it? But after I left and I got home, I could not wait to come back. Dan really grieved, and I was like, I have to be a part of it. You know, there is something bigger, and I want to be a part of it. And then after listening to him the second time, I just said,
did you have your hand up?
As we show this piece up, oh. Some of us are hard of hearing.
Come over here. Come over here. Come over here. Come on. Randy's going to sit beside me.
We can get Michelle a microphone. To get Michelle to speak even in front of those small groups, that's miracles.
Right? Awesome. How about you?
Well, I was raised in church. I was preached to all my life, but I strayed. At one point, this was like I separated from my wife, and I was just living life large. Wasn't going to church. And all of a sudden, one day, Sunday morning, I never felt so empty in my life. God was made up my mind of going back to church.
My story, not much different than TK's. I started when I was really young, actually going. He was my youth leader. And a lot of things had happened to me, and I lost all faith. It was a lot of bad things. And throughout all my time and not being in church, I found Michelle, but I also found drugs and alcohol and went through a lot of bad things with that and overdosed a couple of times. And through our relationship, I kept saying, you know, every so often, it's like, you know, we really need to get back to church. I need to get back to church. Then at my cousin's wedding, I ran into PK and was like, hey, where are you preaching at now? And he says, oh, down at my Burger King. Saturday evenings. And I come down a couple times, but the front doors are always locked here. And I could never get in. Never once did I come around to the side door. And it just, I felt that emptiness, you know, and I told her, I was like, you know, I got to get on. And my brother David came over one night and was working on my tattoo and was like, hey, sit down. You go to church down there still, don't you? And he's like, yeah, I said, good, take me down. I need to get in down there. And I figured that was kind of like my hint to find out how to get into the place.
Find a secret entrance.
Yeah, you know, or there's a lock or something.
Yeah.
But, and then that's, So then I finally had told Michelle, I was down here, two, three different times, and I was like, you have to come down. And that was, I started back in January of last year, and February 14th, PK married us. Mm-hmm. Been here ever since. And I'm not going anywhere this time.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, the reason why I wanted to share that is just kind of just for us to reflect and just to think about it. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you walk a walk and sometimes you just yeah, you're serving the Lord, but, you know, remind yourself of why you came to Him. And not only that, but to remind yourself of where other people might be. That you are in the place now that you can offer something that you were looking for. You found that thing that you were looking for. You found that thing that filled your heart, that completed you to some degree. And that's what I really feel like we have to understand is our purpose here. Know that there's something more than just having my experience, but that experience that I have, that I share. And I just wanted to, let's look at Matthew 28. If you check this out. I want to read this to you. And I just really have laid heavy on me today, really, really hard, because I've read it 100 times. But this particular moment, when I read it, it said something to me that didn't say before. And that's what the Word of God does. It declares something. And God's Word speaks. And when you have an ear to hear, and that's what I pray, that we just have an ear to hear what God's saying. What God's saying to us. What's he declaring to us? And in Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain, where Jesus had appointed them." That hidden right there, where he appointed, where he met them, where he set them and he declared to them, "You are my disciples." It was that moment where they, you know, really had that moment of that they're following him, that they're in this thing. They're in this thing with him, and they're going to follow him. And it really, really, that moment right there, he says that that's where he appointed them, and it brought them back. He brought them back to that place to remind them, what is it about? What is this about? Why are we here? What are we here for? What is this about? And then he says, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him." But somebody read the next part. What's it say? Verse 17.
You read 17.
Yeah, read the last part of it. What's it say?
"And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted."
Now, some doubted. Now, they put that in there. I mean, like, it always amazes me in the Word of God. They didn't have to be in there, you know what I'm saying? But it's in there. And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, sometimes along the way, I mean, even if they're walking with Jesus, they're experiencing, you know, the multitude of people. They're serving these fish that are multiplying in front of them. This bread that keeps breaking and opening. Watch the blind, the dead rise. They see all these things, but yet there was doubt there. There was still doubt there. But this is the part that really hit me right here. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end." Even in your doubts, even in your skewed view of me, I'm with you. And this really, the responsibility that he laid before these doubters. And I believe it's set right there in front of them that these were doubters. These are ones that sometimes, just like us, that we get overwhelmed or something with life and things around us. And here he is. He's saying this, that he entrusted them. He's placing them. He says, "Here it is. I'm finished. It's yours. Finished." He took and gave them this responsibility that he started. And he says, "Now you go. You go, you take it." And I thought to myself, wow, we're here. Everybody's here for a reason. Everybody in this church, everybody that we've gathered together in this place, that God set us up, God put us in this position to cast his vision, to continue what he gave us.
what he's placed in our hands to say here. I know you might not believe in yourself. I know you might not think that you're good enough, you're well enough, you can do this, but I'm giving it to you. They didn't get a degree. They didn't get a degree. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to wait for you to get a degree or to get this much knowledge or to go to this many discipleship classes or to have a certificate or to do this. No. He gave it to them without any qualifications at all. He handed it to them. And he says, now go. And I want you to know the thing that tied them is what got them there in the first place is their relationship with him. Just Jesus. It was just him. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't the miracles. It wasn't all these other things. Those things are added to. It wasn't the worship. It wasn't all these other things. But it was this moment right here that this he bestowed that upon them. And he says, this relationship I have with you, I entrust it to you. Everything the Father gave me, I am empowered. He gave it to me. I'm giving it to you. What a heaviness that hit me today. Saying that you are my representative in that moment, in that area, that thought on the earth, right there is you. You are the one. You are the ones that I'm trusting, that I believe in, that maybe nobody else does. I believe in you, and I've given it to you. Now take it.
Faith is like a muscle. When you were saying that the more you use it, the stronger it gets. When you start lifting weights, you maybe lift 3 pounds, 5 pounds, but the more you use it, the stronger it gets. So I think he was telling them to go out and use it. Even though you might be doubting at this moment, go out and use your faith. It'll get stronger. And then you can help other people.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about this too, and I thought about Saul, which is Paul. And let me just read this to you because I love this. He says, this is pretty good here, Acts 9. And that's what we do. We got to take it. We can't wait. And it says 9:20, verse 20. And he says, this is after he says, go thy way. He says, you're a chosen vessel. He says, and bear the name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things must suffer for my sake. You know, there's this thing. This is what he told Ananias. This is what he told him. He told him this about Paul. Paul doesn't know what he thinks about him. Paul really doesn't know, but he met him on that road. And this is what he says. Now remember, this guy had all kinds of reasons not to go. Don't we have every reason? I mean, think about this. No, we do. I'm busy. I have so much to do. And I'm thinking, there's nothing more important. The day that I stand before him, what can I say? I was busy.
I was hungry, so I wanted to go get something to eat.
I was busy. I had something more important than me. I had something more valuable, something that I needed to do that was been greater than what you asked me. And Paul, man, you know, we can make it all up. I mean, I said this before, that we kind of talk ourselves out of it. You know what I mean? That even tonight, that you'll be tempted to talk yourself out of everything that's offered to us and what we're hearing tonight. That you come to a place where you make excuses for things. We all do to some degree. And Paul, at that moment, when he got this commission, and he says, and straightway he preached Christ. He's the most unqualified person beyond any of us because he killed the Jews. He killed the Christians. He's the one that authorized Stephen's stoning. He went into churches and pulled people out of churches, and there were Christians that were confessing Christ and killed them. But yet, what he happened? It was the meeting that he had. It was the meeting that he had with Jesus that qualified him. It's that meeting that you have. It's that moment that you receive in your life that qualifies you. Because it's not about you. It's about him. It's at that moment. It's how you met him. Everything in my life, everything I've learned, all the things. No, the thing that qualified me is that saying yes to Christ. Redeemed my heart, changed my life. That qualified me. And Paul, at that moment, he went straight out and preached Christ. See, I want you to think and understand something. The church is messed up.
And I believe that God's calling us to come back to the sense of understanding of what our calling is. And it is Christ. It's just declaring Christ. It's Jesus. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And to be a disciple means that you are leading others, teaching them to follow Jesus. That's it. You're teaching others to follow Christ. And we don't learn that in church. We don't really learn that in church. That we you hear the understanding, you get the minister of the minister. That goes against the word of God, because the Bible says of you, apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, evangelists, and he says to edify the church that they minister to the saints. You learn so that you, us, minister to the saints. We receive it so that we minister to the saints, so that we edify them, so that we equip them. We lost traction somewhere because it's not taught. We get this concept, this view of what church is, and we miss the understanding that it's the discipleship. It's us discipling. It's us invading people's lives. Just like he did. You are that image and likeness of Christ. You invade people's lives. When they come step on this ground, that moment, here's the opportunity that we have that we don't have out in the world. We have it right here. And when they walk on this ground, the moment they come to this place, we share who we are in Christ. We share our experience. That's why I asked you that moment, what your experience is. Because you have that to share. You have that story. You have your unique story that met Christ to offer, to share. That we meet these ones. That we meet them where they are. And sometimes it's messed up in a sense where that we say that somebody says, well, these are my disciples. No. I don't have disciples. You're his disciples. I'm a disciple. I will always be a disciple. I will always have the need to be discipled, to grow, to expand. But I always got to remember, too, that I'm not just being discipled, but I'm discipled. Because if I stop that, then I don't get continue the flow. It was so important. The last things he said is go and preach. Go. Make disciples. Why? Because you're sharing that experience that you don't forget.
Do you know what the foundation of this church was before you bought it?
What the foundation?
The church that had it.
You mean? The
first Christian church that was here, that was established here years ago. You know what their motto was?
Disciples. Yeah. BFC. I knew they were called that. Yeah, it was called Disciples
of Christ. That was the whole basis of their...
It wasn't First Christian Church, it was Disciples of Christ.
Well, that's what First Christian Church was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their motto, that was their foundation of being disciples. I just think that's very interesting.
It is.
I was raised in this church, and that's what we were told, that's what I was taught from when I was a little child, and being disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting that this church is just not, it's like it's a foundation that was here before we were even here, and it's going to continue on because that is the basis of what we're here for.
We're here. See, and we don't lose sight of that, you know, and I believe it's so important for us to get that and to understand that, because what we begin to do is it causes us to become accountable, that when we walk in the door, we say, well, I don't have a ministry, man, that has to go out the window. Because that's that excuse. Mm-hmm. That's that excuse that we offer to God to kind of exempt us from.
Right.
I can't talk. I can't. My goodness, how many men and women in the Bible were not qualified?
Right.
Paul was, that's what he said. He said, I'm the least. That's why he said that. I'm the least. Because I'm a Christian killer.
We all have these reservations that we're about to talk to people, you know, people aren't going to believe you. People aren't going to take you seriously. You know, I'm going to go to home about Christ. Why would they believe you? You might even know how hard this was for Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, people knew who he was. He killed Christians.
Yeah.
Now, he does not start preaching about Jesus. And people think, you know, is this a trap? You know, you're going to get me to say, I believe what you're saying, so you can arrest me. No,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, in verse 26, it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join with the disciples.
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
but they were afraid of him, and they believed that he was not a disciple.
Yeah, but Barnabas trapped them, yeah.
But Barnabas, it says, took him and brought him in. He brought him in. He brought him in. You know, that's what we have to understand, that all in all, what makes us come, what makes us one, is Christ. See, that's what makes me realize that it stops me from offending somebody. Because I realize that I'm discipling with my words. I'm discipling everything that I say. James said, he says, let your tongue. He says, your tongue, it is like a rudder that guides and leads, and it sets fires, and it changes the course of people's lives.
Can I say something? You know how you ask us to share whatever,
when
you challenge you to do? I might have received at a certain age, or maybe someone else, but I really, for years, and I know there's other people like that, I was saved, but I really didn't know things. Like, so when I was saved and when I really lived and felt that, like maybe you felt it at a certain time or whatever, even though I was saved, there was so much missing for a long, long time that I didn't know. So, like, somebody might think, that's why I didn't answer right away. Because I'm sitting here thinking about, like, how I would answer that. Because I was saved at a young age. And I'm not talking down in church, but where I went was just so different. And you didn't have, I wasn't free in him. See, there's such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be saved. Okay, I go to heaven. But I really didn't understand the freedom in him. I didn't understand what it was like to really be loved by him. So that question, that answer for me is, I was saved at this age, but I was saved. That's it.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? So when you ask somebody that, it could be that day this happened, but when did it really change my life? Mm-hmm. It took a lot of time. It took me loving him, and then I went this way. Then it took me loving him, and then I went this way again. It took me being married and getting a divorce and being like, I'm still trying to find something. We're talking like I went from a young, young age, and I knew. I went to church. I did all these things. You know what I mean? So that is, can be, and I know other people have to feel that way too. Not to maybe it is, but I'm just saying. You know, when you don't have freedom, you don't know. Like, if I would say to somebody, and there's people that I know that like go to church and that, but I know by knowing them and now how I, that they don't really have that freedom in knowing his love and knowing how it is to be maybe stumbling and he still loves me. Like, so many people don't realize that, hey, I didn't have to be this way for him to still love me. I made a lot of stupid mistakes. You know what I mean? So it just changed. My life has changed so many times. You know what I'm saying? But I always was searching until one day it flipped. It's like, what you're missing is right. It's been there all since you were, how old when you did that? But other people and where I went to church and different things, I was judged. Well, you're not a Christian, you can't do that. So, you know what I mean? So that's, for me, here, you know, you feel that unconditionally. Teach that. A lot of people, they have to get over feeling that they're not worthy. It's more of a, I'm really not because I did all these things. And why is he going to save me? Because I've just pointed him too many times. Just to understand that I'm going to disappoint him every day. And somehow I just have to try to just do it a little less, a little less. You know what I mean? That's why I didn't answer you when you first asked that. Because I was saved in the word of as I was saved. And that's as far as it went.
I probably experienced the same thing. You know, she was in church all her life. And my sister Beth, you know, she was in church. Yeah, church all her lives. But, you know, it was that moment where that there was this, that, you know, where sometimes it's whatever, different wounds. And you come to that place.
Myself, too. I mean, I experienced the ordeal. I was saved at an early age, but never developed a relationship with Christ. You know, never, I mean, you get saved on the basis that Christ loves you, you know, but never really feel that love. The church I grew up in, you never felt the love of Christ.
I never had the passion.
No, you know, it was like a very hostile kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, you know, God was angry. The church I grew up in, God was angry, and there's so many things were bad.
everything. You need things that have
yes. Everything was bad. You know, if you didn't check all the boxes, I was angry. You know,
I agree.
You know, and never developed a relationship with God. Spent honestly most of my life being afraid of God, and I took that literally, the Bible says to fear God, literally being afraid of Him. You know, of what He would do, because I wasn't measuring up. You know.
That's where I think a lot of people are at in the world. Like,
yeah, and so never, ever developed any kind of a real relationship with God, or really truly believed that God loved me,
right.
You know, in the way that I needed Him to love me, you know, the way that made me trust Him, you know. And it's taken me years, I mean, most of my life, to come to a place where, you know,
comfortable with it,
you know.
And that's the key. That experience that you've gained is what we disciple. It's what we do. It's what we, you know, that's how we bring that experience that we have, that there, and we begin to disciple people. We begin to bring them to Christ. We begin to lead them to follow Christ as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the key to discipling. Follow me as I follow Christ. You're not following me as an individual. I'm not perfect, but I'm following Christ. Are we pointing them to Christ? Is my actions, is my word pointing them to Christ? And it causes you to regulate where that what we declare and what we say to people, because what we say can shift them one way or the other. It really can. And we say, that's such a responsibility. But listen, you're entrusted to do that, even though you doubt. It says, even though you doubt. But you're entrusted to do that. And we have to base it upon that love. That love that we have. And as we begin to express, I want you to know that what got me the ball rolling on me is I begin to express God's love for people. And as I begin to declare, as I begin to share His love, I begin to experience it. I begin to experience that love. I begin to feel that love because I was opening my mouth and declaring and sharing that with other kids when I was sharing them the gospel and letting them experience and hear that, I begin to change. I begin to develop. I begin to believe it myself by holding it in. And that's not faith. That's not believing. That's just you take it in. But it becomes an experience. It becomes something part of your life, and you're flowing it out. It's something that becomes real. And that's how powerful it is, that your words declare something. It does something. It activates something. It stirs something. You're declaring something. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have no charity, no love, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. It means nothing. That if it's not on that love, it's not based on Christ, that love of Him, of who He is. And I stop and I say, that love that He has for me, it's not based upon what I see about you or the way you treat me or the way that you look or the way that you present yourself, the way that you don't come to church enough, or the way that you don't know. It's that love. And it's meaningful whenever it's love. That's our foundation. And He says, and though I have gifts, you have all the gifts in the world. People have the gifts. People have all those things. They can have the gifts. The gifts are freely given, that God gives gifts. Prophecy, prophesying, and understanding, mysteries. They can know all the word of God. They can know, speak it from one end to the other end. I've known many of people that have had no love in their life. No love. And He says, in knowledge, and through I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have no love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I want you to know that every one of these bring me back to a place where I begin to experience or begin to receive that love. That's where it was. That's the change, where I begin to receive it. I begin to believe it. I begin to take it for myself and believe who He is. That's where all the change comes in our lives. That's where the moments where you're transformed, when you're sitting there in worship and you're receiving that love. And you deserve the glory. You begin to declare that. You receive that love. And you get your focus off everything else and believing what He says about you in those moments when you're hearing that word. It's those moments where you receive that love, where you open your heart. It's that moment where those disciples decided in their heart they were going to take this and begin to walk this out, where the earth began to change. They begin to disciple and people begin to be transformed. Why? His love. They believe that love. They open their hearts up to that love, that he can love me. And he says, and though I bestow all the good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, I profit me nothing. And then it goes on to begin to tell about what love is. And I love to read that because it reminds me of what he thinks of me. And I need to disciple people with that. That has to be my core, my understanding of how God thinks. And instead of using the word charity or love, God. Let me just start with one. Instead of saying charity, God suffereth long. God is kind. God envieth not. God vaunteth not itself. God does not puff up. God does not behave unseemly, seeking his own. If we look at it that way and think about that, that's that love. And that's what I'm projecting. That's what I'm giving. That's what I'm relating. That's what I'm delivering to people. That's the gift that's in me, that experience that I have with God. Because there's nothing else. It's not about what I could say about these. No, it's Christ. It's just Jesus. You want to hear this? It's not. It's not about all of our activities, which is great. It's not about, but it's that love. And the only way it's expressed in discipleship is in relationship. So we can understand that our understanding that we're here to disciple, to be discipled, and to disciple every one of us. Every one of us. And to realize from the person that just comes in that door that they have to get that understanding. They have to see it. It has to be a reference. It has to be I wrote that down. There has to be a culture. It needs a frame of reference. We have come so far away from the true gospel of making disciples that we don't have a frame of reference to have. You come to church, you hear the music, you sing your songs, you might get involved, but then you leave. Instead of having that frame of reference and understanding that, yeah, what does it cost me? Yeah, it costs me investing my life in yours. It costs me getting outside myself. It costs me finding that time to get beyond my own special needs to say, you know what, I'm going to invest in somebody.
The rewards are greater.
See, because what it does is comes back to you. You begin to receive that. It's reciprocal. You begin to feel that and gain that. You begin to experience that as you begin to give out. Listen, I've given out. I know that it's done more for me than what for the people that I've given it to. I know it has. It's sustained all through these years of rejection, all the whatever, it didn't matter. It was that love that I gave out.
That's just like a lot of times it's more fun to give somebody a gift for Christmas that they really love. That's like reward enough.
That's enough. It's the same way. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing. So what we do is we begin to, we think and we realize that discipleship is what? Pointing people to Jesus, to follow Jesus. Are my actions or what I'm doing having you follow Jesus? Is what I'm doing, is the moment wherever I'm at, is it leading people to Jesus, bringing them to that place, pointing to him? That's it, just Jesus. Doesn't have to be, I have to have all this, and no, it's just Jesus, it's enough. That relationship you have with him speaks louder. It's our love. And that's why sometimes religion and all that, it's like sounding brass and cymbals, clanging noise. That, like you said, whether you had that experience in church or whatever, something that was just clanging noise. But when it's love, see, when it's true discipleship, where that you're investing that thing that's deposited in you into others, it goes beyond yourself. Does that make sense? Let's just look at Ephesians real quick. Somebody's going to have to read this because I have it tore out of my Bible. Literally have it tore out of my Bible. That's a chunk right there. I'll read the first part. I'll read 10 and 11. Somebody read 12. He describes the same descended above the heavens to fill all things. And the same he gave apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting. What's it say? For the work of the ministry. What's the next word? For the edifying of the body. This is the 13. Some of you got 13.
Chapter 4. Ephesians 4.
That's how much we miss you not having that up on the board.
Just 13. For perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. That, listen, we come here. We're being deposited by the fivefold ministry. You know, apostles, prophets, evangelists. He says, you know, we're influenced by that. And to what? For what purpose? What purpose? Edifying for the work of the ministry. To edify the saints. Next verse.
Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Wow. Listen, I want you to know that, listen, here's the thing. As you begin to disciple people and how they respond to you, and how you respond to them is your growth. Listen, sometimes don't curse the moment they curse you or they walk out of your life, because this is your growth. I want you to know that some of those moments when I've been hurt and broken were my greatest moments of feeling a relationship with Him. Because I had nothing to turn to. In moments where I've been rejected and hurt and somebody represented God in the wrong way. And that moment, in those moments when I began to experience, have this love and realize what I was in here for. What I'm here for. I didn't let it turn me, but I let it turn me towards Him and realize what it's about. And it's edifying. So it's called, we are called here. Just to, you guys have to understand that we are to cast a vision. And the vision is we are to disciple and to be discipled. We got to be willing to be taught. We got to be willing to be corrected. So we all do. We all got to be able to hear and have an ear to hear. Say, man, is this me, or am I doing it the right way? Am I responding out of love? Am I responding the right way? That we come into what? Unity. Which is the most powerful thing, I believe. If anybody says, Lord, Pastor Chris talked with most about unity. More than anything, every service, everything, because I know that is the key. That is the key to everything that we do, is to come into unity. Come into oneness. That we being disciples, we are being discipled, and we're discipling. That you can disciple. We can disciple one another. We can express disciples. What is disciples? To lead, follow Jesus. And as we lead them, we're leading ourselves. We're bringing ourselves. Where are we bringing ourselves to? Jesus. Where are we pointing? Jesus. What are we preaching? Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not about songs. It's not about this. It is discipling. It's coming into that unity. That's what we're here for. I am here. My time is valuable. That I realize that when I walk in this church, I am coming here. I have a ministry to do. Not just preach a sermon, but I have a ministry to disciple, to lead people to Jesus, to point to Christ. Whoever it is, whatever, no matter who, what person, whatever, wherever we are, whoever, anybody, children coming to that church, realizing we're to lead them to Christ, to bring them to Jesus. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to understand that. And when people realize that, they're going to step and get traction, because they begin to express that. They begin to disciple. And it multiplies. And it becomes the pattern. It becomes the framework. It becomes the culture of that house. And when you're discipling and you're being discipled, then you ultimately come into unity. Because you realize, why? I'm pointing them to Jesus. I'm not discipling you to become like me. I'm discipling you to become like Jesus. Amen? To come into that unity. So I weigh my words. I have to weigh them. I have to reflect that and save myself. Am I pointing you to Jesus? Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
But he's going to ask me, how did you represent me? Did you disciple? Those who you're with, those who you work with, those that did you disciple?
To equip, to make them disciples. There's a couple things that I just wanted to add to that. I said that we're to cast division, unity, discipleship. That you understand there's no confusion in that. That we know that that's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. And we begin to make it a pattern. We begin to walk in this house with expectations. To know I have something to do here, man. I have a reason to be here. I have a reason to be in this house. Well, I feel like I'm part of it, then it's your mistake. Because this is the vision. This is the vision. I listen, honestly, I do not want people, the worst thing I hate is when people reflect the responsibility they're supposed to take on me and blame me for it. Okay? That kills me. That if anything makes me upset is that. Is that why somebody isn't where they should be and they blame it on me? Or they blame it on the priest team? Or they blame it on this? Wrong. Wrong. Because I have to be that reflection of Jesus. I'm making disciples. I am. I am causing people to follow Christ. And I have to realize, and I say that with love in my heart. Because that is that using that excuse will get people to have an excuse that fit it to not be here. I literally have had people upset because they didn't put somebody sit beside somebody else, so they quit coming. I had a meeting, I put them somewhere else, not beside the person. Literally, that's true.
I didn't know we had a sign too.
Somebody told me. I said, "Well, should you go to them?" No, I'm not, because that person is trying to find an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I've had somebody upset with me and quit the church because I just want a different menu. For food.
Wow.
Because I said I wanted it this way. They quit. Or see what I mean? I mean, then that right there is we're not coming into unity. It's not about it's finding that place, it's finding that oneness, it's finding that your motive was wrong. What is it about? Because I'm here and I realize that I'm here. And it's not just my agenda. It's not my agenda. I don't want people to come in and say, well, have an agenda. Seriously, I mean, I've had people come in with agendas. That's the worst thing in the world when I find out somebody's got an agenda, why they're here to do this or that. Because let me tell you something. My agenda is Jesus, period. It's Jesus, making disciples, coming into unity. Yeah, and out of that we have vision. Out of that comes the things that we do in the house. It's because of that. It's because I'm coming into unity. It's because of that. It's because of our heart for that purpose. It all comes out of that. I could prophesy and have knowledge and all that, but if it doesn't have love, it doesn't come out of that, it's meaningless. It does nothing. We're spinning tires and we're going to spend another 10 years doing the same thing, which I don't want to do. Okay? And some of those are funny. They're funny because you think to yourself, I mean, but this is something that I want us to learn to do too. And if there's the one thing that can really derail things, especially with disciples, is confusion. It's confusion on what was said or the way things can be communicated from leadership. Or the way you perceive something. Now, if you perceive something and you're not in the right spirit, you'll be offended. I'm just being real, okay? So the key thing is this, is go to the source. Go to the source, go to the leadership, whether it's me. And I want everybody to know and realize there's nothing that you can say to me that's going to cause me not to love you.
I'd rather have you come to me and not be confused than to be confused. I need communication. If there's something you don't understand, if there's something that you're wondering about, don't wonder. Come. Come to me. Come to me. Listen, they asked Jesus some of the craziest things, man. Come on. I mean, but Jesus declared it, and there was no confusion after that. All right, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we are going to do. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's confusion, it will deter things. I mean, we had a good talk the other day where that there was something you said, this is okay to ask you. And I loved it because it was, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? That's it. Sorry, Chef. Too late now. She asked me something, and honestly, it was what, you know, what we need to communicate. It's one of the things I added on the list here. And we were talking about how that we need to affect people. We need to have realized that every one of us need to realize that anybody who comes in this house, we have to touch somewhere, somehow. I don't care if everybody overflows that person. If you're offended because people come to you, say hi to you, or love you, love you, or whatever, I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay? Remember, this is Jesus, where Jesus, he offended people whenever he said, he looked at them, he said, follow me. And he didn't give them the time to go check out or to go, you know, put their bags away or do this or that or talk about it. Wait, just know, Jesus kept going. I believe there were quite a lot of offended people.
Yeah.
Could have been. But those that wanted him more said, man, I'm just going to keep walking. You have to know the heart. You have to know my heart and realize that where I come from.
That's how I felt about you.
Yeah.
That's
the key. It's that love. It's the love that we have for one another. It's that love that we... You know what, honestly, and I believe sometimes there's some people that aren't here because of that love. There's some people that aren't here because of that. Because you don't always have to go to church, he'll still love you, or you don't have to always have this attendance or this or that. And sometimes what we do with God, that he's still going to love me no matter what. We know that.
Yeah, but the scary verse in the Bible is where Jesus is saying that people will say to him, but Lord, I cast out demons in your name. And Jesus said, well, I knew you not.
Yeah.
And that,
and see, that's the thing. That's the thing. And I shared this before, and I think we were talking about this before. Once somebody was, I was talking with was, that's why sometimes people, what they'll do is it's easier to have people fear you than love you. You've heard that, where that it's, I'd rather have people hate them, fear me than love me. I've heard parents say that. They need to fear me more than they need to love me. Because why? Here's why. Because most of the time, they'll respond to fear. If you threaten somebody with something, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And that's where sometimes churches... That's why their whole message becomes fear, because what it is you're bringing people into the church out of fear, not out of love. But it's the thing that you declare and realize that it's the love that changes you.
That produces a lot of damaged people.
Yeah, and that's what it's done.
Fear produces a lot of damaged people.
Yes, but it's that love that changes people. It's the love that ultimately, when they're ready, will change them.
Yeah, but with that, don't you think sometimes, and I don't mean for someone to be fearful, but at the same time, sometimes you just say, oh, he loves me even if I don't know. You know what I mean? It goes too far the other way.
It goes too far the other
way. I don't mean
it. But here's the thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like this world today, it's just like, well, it's okay.
Yeah.
I love God just because I'm not in church. And I understand, but he wants you to be in church.
Yeah.
You need the fellowship or whatever.
There's a difference between love and relationship. He's always going to love you. He's always going to love everyone.
Right.
It's not about that, though. It's about, what Joe just said, I didn't really know you. You know, like, yes, I love you. Like, I can say to somebody I don't even know, I can love you because I can love you because I have Christ in me, and I can love you. But unless I have that relationship with them, it's only going to go to a hook. It's not going to be what it is.
Right?
They'll be empty. They'll really be empty. And it is like what you said. You said that I knew you not. That's the key. See, because knowing is relational.
So
like my kids fear me to a point, but if you ask either one of them who loves you more than anything else, they know if their mother loves them and they know that I'm going to be there on their side.
That's what I mean by a little fear.
It's not like regardless of what they think who they are.
See, I'm here. I reverently fear, like tonight when I was moved by that, I feared God. I fear the responsibility that's on us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a sense of fearing, a sense of like the awe-ness. Like, this is the...
That's the big...
Yeah. And that's a fear, that right there. I was overwhelmed with that love that was awe. It was fear. It was awareness. He this God said here.
No true love or relationship without discipline.
That's why discipleship is key. That's why discipleship.
I think people have contorted the idea of love to be the absence of morality. You can do anything, and it's okay because God loves you. That's not what it is.
And they miss out on that. Yeah. They miss out on that experience with God because they miss out on that real relationship from hearing. Ye that are mine, hear my voice.
Right.
They hear my voice. They hear me. And that's what I'm saying, too, is us as disciples, followers of Christ, they should be hearing his voice. Or me.
Right.
Am I sharing that? And we think, oh, that's such a responsibility. Listen, it all begins with love.
Right.
It's not about a doctrine. It's not about a certificate. It's about that love that you have. You have it. You have it. You have it. Then I have to have a doctor in front of my name. Sometimes people, unfortunately, they respect the doctor name above, and they'll flow to people that has a doctor name or a doctor of theology or whatever that is, instead of that just that love, realizing that just Jesus in my life is what you need.
Right.
And that Christ in you is what I need. And then I realize that, man, you disciple me when you lead me to Christ in worship, or you lead me to Christ when you're leading me to Christ. We're all discipling. We're discipling. We're bringing people to God. That's our point. That's what we're here for. So everything that I do, when I'm in the kitchen, when I'm cleaning the bathroom, when I'm taking down Christmas decorations, I'm to Christ, that I'm discipling. I'm leading people to Christ, where that they're watching me and they're follow me and say, man, that feels good. That feels good. Amen? And I thought to myself that I can't occupy a title without fulfilling my task. And it begins with discipling, investing in people's lives. And not just people that you're familiar with or people that you have influence over. Challenge yourself to go beyond that. You know, our heart, and God challenged me and told me from the beginning that I am to put people in position to express them, to put people in a place where that they can be used by God. That's one of the things that God really specifically spoke to me about this place, is that put people in positions so that they can express Him and be used by Him. And the reason why we do Saturday nights is for that purpose, is that we come together here and we disciple. We sit with somebody, and that young couple with the baby, that young couple that's his brother-in-law now, you know, this kid is ripe for picking. Right for picking. He knows nothing, a black slate about God. But he feels something. He needs disciples.
By the kingdom.
We need to express that. Know their names. Get to know them. Begin to find out people. These ones that come in this house, when you watch somebody come in this house, I believe that we need to get numbers. We believe that that person needs text the next day, or a call the next week, or whatever, a letter sent to them, and this is our task, this is who we are, this is what we do. You know what I mean? This is our point. I'm going to come with a word, I promise you, this is what I'm going to do. Every week, I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to present to them what God has put in my heart, and I believe that God will offer that to them at that moment. The next is up to you. Not like I'm mocking the disciple too, but I'm saying I can't hit them all. It's not my...
You plant a seed, more water.
Take that next step. Grab that one. Spend that time. Invest in that person. Invest it. Whatever. Just invest that time. I believe the greatest changes in kids' lives that I had was spending time. I'd go camping with them. I'd spend time with them. I'd be doing things with them. It wasn't always church stuff. It was activities. It was stupid games.
That's because you were a big kid.
Yeah, doing the dumbest things in the world, doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing, you know.
You're all the same mentality.
Yeah. I mean, legally, I was, I should not have been doing that. Yeah, I mean, like throwing kids in blankets and doing things, sliding downstairs, and yeah, I've had many of wounded kids.
Kids
that have sun poisoning, bubbles coming out of their body, and
shaving their heads.
Just lay down in that room, you'll be fine. But I'll tell you what, you know, they're lasting. And that is invested in that kid's life, whether they're here or not, doesn't matter. Because I offered them Jesus. I didn't offer them me. See, when we offer them us, then we fail. But we just offer them Jesus, that love. You never fail. Love never fails. It doesn't fail. Now you say, well, they're not here. Doesn't matter. Because it's not about that. It's that investment in that kid's life that they'll always remember. They'll always remember that. What was different? Maybe somebody else was supposed to be that one to do the next part.
I could plan to see someone else wanted.
Yeah. Maybe that. Maybe I'm not the one to do it all.
You don't see it.
Yeah.
Right. Sell yourself short.
Yeah. What can come next? What can come next? Yeah. What can come next? That next moment, that next experience. But I believe that when we do this, that every one of us, we realize that we're discipling. That I believe that every ministry we have, everything that we do, we need to bring somebody in. Whether it's making coffee, whether it's praise team, whether it's singing, whether it's somebody there. I mean, we got these ones that are learning to get involved with this praise team. We need to get them involved. We need to find out how we can be there for them, encourage them. You know, people that want to be involved. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. You're leading them to Jesus. I mean, listen, one of the hardest things I had to do one time was there was a message that was told. It was offering your Isaac. I'll never forget that message. It derailed me. It pissed me off. Because it touched a part of me that I wasn't ready to give up, and it was drumming. I was a drummer. And I had a disciple that was with me that I was discipling in every area. I was in my life. I taught them how to do masonry. There were every area of my life, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was discipling this kid's life. And God told me, give him the drums. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I remember telling God no. I loved to do it. It was my thing. I loved it. It was my ministry. It was my expression. And God said, give it up there. And man, I did it. I did it, and I wasn't right heart. I did it. I said, here. But as I watched him blossom, it just went off me. And I realized that that moment right there is that's just the beginning of the Isaac. So I'm going to give up if I'm going to disciple. I got to be willing to get that off. And to release it. And to let it go. And say, come on, let's just do this. And to find somebody to be part of that thing or whatever. And get them involved. They might not make it. They might not get involved. They might not. But it doesn't matter. But you're stimulating them. You're stirring them. You're bringing them to that point. You're activating them, getting them to be responsible, to come to the house, to be involved. They might miss it. They might not get. Well, find somebody else. Grab another one or whatever it is. Always find that person that you disciple. Or disciple in the sense where that you bring them down here after church. That's discipling. You're bringing them down here. Whether you talk to them or not, or you introduce them to somebody, or you, whatever. Find somebody that they're involved with. Is this mine?
find somebody. But we always got to be, even with every area, whatever it is. I mean, you see somebody that is, and I think you might be good at this, Pastor Chris. What do you think you should do? That's communication. I'm not going to always realize what everybody's thing is in this church. I'm not Gestapo or the KGB. Seriously, I don't know all things. And most pastors, a lot of pastors say they know all things and everything is going, and you're foolish. Because I don't know what's all in man's hearts. I don't. And the way we find it is relationship. So this is the key. This is what I want to say, and I'm done. Every area of this church, we have to stop and think to myself, am I doing with everything? Am I 100%? This is what I mean by this, why we have to come in unity. Because here's why. Because every one of them is an overall rating. This is what it means. I'm telling you, I want you to hear this. Every ministry, from the children, to the sound, to the computers, to media, to the praise team, to the doorkeeping, to janitors, to every part of it, is part of that overall rating. Just think of, like, you get rated, you know, how you get rated, whatever it is. I just want you to stop and think about this. So it doesn't matter whether I'm 100% or not. If that area, if the nursery is 20%, it affects me. What do I mean by me? Him. What do I mean by that? I mean that it affects his image. Every area in this place, we are one. So when I realize that I can help this area, if I can, I'm not even part of this. That's all my ministry. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. That is, that's not my ministry. Stop saying that. You guys don't say that, but I'm saying, don't say that. In our discipleship, that we disciple people to realize that we don't say that. Why? Because every area is a percentage.
Only
strong. And we got to know that. That we got to stop and think to ourselves, man, I want to help that person. I want to help them. I want to help them be this. I want to help them. I want to bring young people to church. I want to do this. Or I want to help whatever I could do with you. Whatever, any area. And I can be involved. Well, guess what? Then you become invested in somebody else's ministry besides you. That you become invested in that area. You become part of that area. And then you can begin to help disciple people to take that area. That we don't have it. We don't have this in our church. Well, come on, let's do it, right? I mean, we have, none of us have an excuse that it's our ministry. It's not Pastor Chris. It's not my ministry. It's not. It's his. It is not my ministry. You cannot put that on me. It's his. It's his. It's his calling. Come after him. To follow. We're making disciples of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we reflect that. And all in all, man, it's all about him. So when we come to this house, when we come to this place, that, you know, it doesn't matter whether there's 5 people or 100 people. I hope I reflect that. I hope I be that example where that, whether or not there was 2 people here tonight, I still would share the same message with all my heart. Because I want to give 100%. I want to be 100%. I want to give everything that I can, not lay anything else, but go after it with all my heart. And I believe that we begin to do that. Every one of us begin to do that, operate that way. We can't miss. And we do it in love. Love, 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 love. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions? Anything to add?